Today is Saturday, February 10th. We're just one day away from the most watched TV event of the year, the Super Bowl. An estimated 75% of Americans plan to watch the big game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. But of course, the halftime show, this year featuring Usher, is a big draw for a lot of people. So what goes on behind the scenes to get A-list stars to take the stage? Today, we're talking about the evolution of the halftime show, how the performers are chosen, and exactly how much money is involved in it all. Joe Pompliano joins us to break it all down. He focuses on the business behind sports on his podcast, The Joe Pomp Show, and his newsletter, called Huddle Up, has become a go-to resource for professional athletes, investors, industry executives, and fans. By the way, later in the show, you'll get his take on the Taylor Swift mania, including the dollar amount he thinks she's brought to the NFL since she started going to Chiefs games. But first, it's all about the halftime show, so let's get into it. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Joe Pompliano, thank you so much for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Before we dive into the business of the Super Bowl halftime show, although this is related, the Super Bowl was not always this star-studded event, right? It featured marching bands. Can you tell us how it started and how it's evolved?
The Super Bowl halftime show specifically was not nearly as popular back in the day as it is today. As you alluded to, the first show for the first Super Bowl had marching bands and it had two men in jetpacks. Two of the men in jetpacks actually crashed into the stands and it was a whole ordeal. They had a hot air balloon at a different one. And there was a famous show where Coca-Cola shipped out, I think it was 25, 26 million pairs of 3D glasses. And it was just a disaster, right? It was Super Bowl 23 and all these people tried to put on glasses for the show. But that was in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. And right around 1990 is when the NFL really started taking it a little bit more seriously. They started getting better acts. They had New Kids on the Block in 1991, Gloria Estefan in 1992, and Michael Jackson in 1993. And I think Michael Jackson was a good starting point of just like where the show was headed and what it's become since then.
And all along, these stars have never been paid, right?
Yeah, so the Super Bowl halftime performer never gets paid, which is, I think, probably the most interesting part about this. When you think about the Super Bowl, it feels like everyone gets paid, right? There's obviously the host stadium, the teams that are involved, the players that are involved, all the media partners. There's a bunch of NFL players in and around the stadium this week doing media appearances. And brands are obviously spending an incredible amount of money too. If you think about Super Bowl commercials, a brand is willing to pay this year $7 million for a 30-second commercial. Whereas an artist is essentially getting a 13-minute commercial, their show, for free.
Right. So it's about the exposure. I'd love to hear some of the numbers of how artists think about this when they get this opportunity.
The halftime show, if you just think about it from a budget perspective, they have a sponsor. The NFL has a sponsorship deal with Apple. Apple pays the NFL $50 million a year. About $15 million of that goes into the show itself. So they give the artist a budget. They say, here's $15 million. Go build out the show creatively how you would like to do it.
So production.
Yes, production budgets, yes. Some artists, like The Weeknd, for example, didn't think that was enough. So he went out and he spent $7 million of his own money on top of that to spend over $20 million for his show. The rest of that money, call it $35 million from Apple, goes to the NFL in the form of profit. But we're talking about a $15 million show, give or take, depending on the artist. They don't get paid, again, like we just said. But a lot of artists will plug either concert tickets at the end of the show, they'll plug upcoming tours, they'll release new albums like Usher is doing this year, and we'll see their numbers go crazy. So I have a few examples that I can share with you guys. Lady Gaga, her album Joanne, went from number 66 on the charts to number 2 after she performed at Super Bowl 51. Justin Timberlake saw a 534% increase in music sales after Super Bowl 52. Travis Scott, his performance fee reportedly doubled from $500,000 to $1 million after his Super Bowl performance in Super Bowl 53. And I think Rihanna was a great example last year. She became the number one most streamed artist globally following the show. And if you actually look at the numbers rating-wise for her performance, more people watched her performance during the Super Bowl, 118 million, than the game average. Right? 115 million. So more people tuned in to watch her and then stopped watching the game after that, which I thought was a very impressive feat. She gained 3 million Instagram followers and searches for Fenty Beauty, which she owns, were up 833%.
And this probably has also evolved over the years, but what's known right now about the process to choose who should perform at the halftime show?
Roc Nation took over this process, or I wouldn't say took over, but started working with the NFL in 2019 to essentially go out and start working with artists in a different capacity. And what the NFL used to do, which I didn't think was very helpful, and they got a lot of negative publicity around, was they would go out and they would work with, you know, five different artists at a time. And they would say, can you do it? Can you do it? Do you want to do it? And maybe two or three of them would come back and say, yes, I will do it. And then they have to go and tell two or three that didn't get it, hey, sorry, we don't need you anymore, right? So it was burning a lot of bridges and people didn't like the way that the NFL was going about it. So they came in and they brought Roc Nation.
And it's, I mean, Jay-Z has that kind of connection with other artists that the NFL just didn't have.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he has a relationship with a lot of the artists that have performed over the last few years. And I think that's part of the reason why we've seen a little bit more of a diverse set of entertainers, because the NFL has historically just gone out to kind of whoever was the biggest name at the time, whoever was a little bit more family friendly, whoever they didn't have to worry about, and so much more. And Jay-Z has really allowed them to step outside of that box and determine who was the best fit for each Super Bowl individually. And usually there's a little bit of a connection between the artist and the city, right? When we had LA and SoFi Stadium a few years ago, we had Eminem, we had Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, Snoop Dogg. There was a good connection with the city of LA. The same thing is happening with Las Vegas this year. Usher has become one of the most prominent acts in Las Vegas over the last few years. He's had residencies at Caesars and MGM. He sold nearly $100 million in ticket sales for those two residencies. So he's had a very important presence in the city. And I think that's part of the reason why Roc Nation ultimately chose him.
Any thoughts or predictions with Usher taking the stage this year about what's going to happen at the show?
They've already announced that he's going to be releasing an album. So that's going to be obviously tremendous for him. I think it'll probably top the charts just given the performance that he's going to have and the stage that he's going to have. But I wouldn't be surprised if he follows that up with an announced concert tour where people can spend more money and buy tickets right after the show as well. And whatever else comes on top of that, I've seen that he signed a couple other marketing deals and he's partnering with a few other brands as well. And those are all things that are going to benefit from his show. So this is something where, again, on the front end, he's not going to make any money off of this. In some cases, some of these artists are paying money. But on the back end, he's going to make a lot of money off of concert tickets, off of streaming, off of brand deals, and everything else in between.
Do you think he's going to have anybody join him on the stage?
I don't know. I haven't heard any rumors, but it wouldn't surprise me. Anytime you can bring out a surprise or other people that fans are excited to see or anything really that's just surprising in general, I think makes it a little bit more buzzworthy on social media. And that's always good for your brand and your name too.
Okay, but is it worth it for Apple to pay $50 million to sponsor the halftime show? And while we're talking about the Super Bowl, we have to mention Taylor Swift. Whether you love her or are kind of tired of hearing about her, her impact this season is undeniable. From a money standpoint, just how valuable has her presence been for the NFL and the Chiefs? And what is she getting in return? Joe Pompliano has a lot more to say coming up. But first, a quick break for our sponsors. So I've heard so much about Skims that I'm really excited to have some pieces to talk about now. And honestly, I'm a customer from here on out, especially because of the fabric and the fit of the Fits Everybody collection. Really, you need to feel this fabric to understand. I noticed it right out of the bag. It is so soft and so stretchy. I love that they have a wide variety of sizes as well. Think extra, extra small to 4X, and a bunch of different shades of nude. Skims is creating the next generation of underwear for every body. Believe the hype. Skims has over 100,000 five-star reviews for a reason. The Fits Everybody collection and more perfect fit essentials are available now at skims.com. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. After you place your order, be sure to let them know that we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. And if you're looking for a gift for your Valentine or for yourself, Skims just launched their best Valentine shop ever, also available at skims.com. This episode is also brought to you by AG1. Taking care of your health is not always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for almost a year now, I've been drinking AG1 every day. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel nourished. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I like to drink AG1 first thing in the morning, which is recommended for optimal nutrient absorption. If I'm running short on time and can't mix my AG1 before heading out, I'll grab a travel pack. Each is an individual serving of AG1 that's easy to mix on the go, helping ensure I get my daily nutrients no matter what. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for a while now. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/newsworthy. That's drinkag1.com/newsworthy. Check it out. Okay, now back to our conversation. You mentioned that Apple Music spends $50 million to be the sponsor. Do you think that's worth it for them? What and what influence, if any, do they have over the performer, the performance, anything like that?
So yes, Apple is paying $50 million to the NFL as part of their sponsorship package. Part of that goes towards the production, but part of that is just pure profit for the NFL. And I do think it's worth it. If you think about it just from a pure advertising perspective, they're obviously getting a number of impressions online during the show and so much more. But also, they usually strike a deal with the artist. I haven't heard anything about Usher so far this year, but I know last year they had a separate documentary deal with Rihanna, which was really interesting because they essentially just recorded all of the content leading up to the show and then the show itself, and they released it as a documentary later on. So Rihanna gets a little bit of cash from that as well and gets paid. But for Apple, it gives them more content, which ultimately helps their streaming package. It helps lower their churn rate and everything else alongside of that. So it's less about just, hey, is this worth it from a pure marketing perspective? But what else is Apple getting on top of it? And I think the documentary is a huge part of that too.
So since we're talking about the business of the Super Bowl, I do want to get your take on the impact of Taylor Swift this year, since she's been going to the Chiefs game for Travis Kelce. What's the impact of her in general, as well as potentially on the Super Bowl, since the Chiefs have made it to the big game and she's likely going to be there?
Yeah, I think she certainly had an impact. It's difficult to quantify specifically. There were some numbers out from Apex Marketing Group a few weeks ago that said the total value of her impressions, we're talking about TV, digital, and everything else in between, was valued at $330 million to the Chiefs and the NFL. That's obviously a lot of money. So if we want to put a number on it, we'll say $330 million according to Apex Marketing Group. But outside of that, I think what she's really done is she's just added to the narrative of this team. If you think about months ago when she first started coming to the games, it's just been casually building up and building up and building up. And it's now reached a point where in back-to-back weeks, the AFC divisional round, the Chiefs set a record with 50 million viewers. Then the following week in the AFC championship, they came back and set another record with 55 million viewers. And this year, I think we're going to set another viewership record in the Super Bowl with over 115 million viewers. So back-to-back-to-back viewership records, all including the Chiefs, I think would be another indicator of how much of an impact she has had on the team this year.
And do you think it's helped her with exposure similar to artists at the Super Bowl halftime show?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we probably haven't talked about enough, everyone talks about the value that she's brought the NFL, and that is without a doubt true and in some cases hard to quantify. But I think what we don't talk enough about is what the NFL has brought her. If you look at Google Trends and you just search Taylor Swift's name, her Google search volume was at its highest point ever. So we're talking about from 2004 when those ratings started to today. Her Google rating was at the highest search volume ever the week after she attended her first Chiefs game, right? So this has been building for months and months and months on top of it. And I think just as much as she has helped the NFL has made her more popular with a totally different demographic of people. And that's great for her and her business as well.
All right, back to the Super Bowl halftime show. Are there any misconceptions or just things that you think people maybe don't know about the halftime show that you want to share? Maybe how things work behind the scenes, anything else we haven't talked about?
It's a big show. It's a big production. There's like 2,000 or 3,000 part-time employees that help with the setup of it. We're talking about dancers and everyone else associated with it too. Usually there's some kids involved and they do a bunch of charitable initiatives too. The creative side of this goes on for months at a time. For most artists, it's the biggest show of their career. So they're putting a lot of time, effort, and money behind it to make sure that on the biggest stage that they can possibly have, they are well represented.
So I'm curious your take. Why do you think, big picture, the Super Bowl halftime show has become this huge thing for both artists and viewers at home?
Well, I think most of it just revolves around viewership. If you think about the Super Bowl, they're going to have over 115 million viewers this year. It'll probably set a viewership record. So anytime you can get that many eyeballs on an artist for their show, it's probably the biggest moment of their career. So I think most of it is just riding the tailwinds of the NFL over the last several decades. It's the most popular sport in the country, and it's the most lucrative sports league in the world. So artists are really just capitalizing off the benefit of the Super Bowl. And it's crazy to me just how important the show has become as part of the game. Right? It's become attractive to people. I don't think the number would be as high without the Super Bowl halftime show and vice versa. When I was at the game in, I guess it was 2021 maybe, the crowd was so into it. People were, there were more people standing on their feet during that than there were at portions of the game. And I think it's all been additive to each other as a storyline, is why the Super Bowl is this big event where you'll go watch it with your friends, you'll have a party, you'll make sure to sit down and carve out time to pay attention to the game and watch it all the way through. Whereas if there isn't a show during the AFC Championship or the NFC Championship, that game gets half or a quarter of the number of viewers that the Super Bowl would get.
Well, thank you so much to Joe Pompliano for sharing his insights and statistics. For more of his analysis, subscribe to his Substack newsletter called Huddle Up and check out his podcast, The Joe Pomp Show. We have links in our show notes. All right, we'll have more about the Super Bowl in our next regular episode on Monday morning, along with the rest of the day's top news. We bring you our signature 10-minute news roundups every weekday morning. So we'll catch you up on more news to know on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.